All right, good morning, everyone. Did you know there are, 10 people on Zoom right now at the same time? So let's say hi to all the Zoom people.
Hi.
Hello. All right, so that's great. Good morning, everyone, and it's great to be here. It's like adjusting to something else, indeed. It's not quite the same, but we're here. Is it halfway, three-quarters way? I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to complain. I am so glad to be back here. And I almost just got used to Zoom, and then we're back here again. I hope never to get back there again. But you never know. I have no idea. But anyway, it's so good to see most of you face-to-face. And for Zoom people, I'm not trying to ignore you, but I'm not going to stare at the camera anymore. I'm going to swing around here a bit. So, but anyway, I just want to say thank you to you for trying your very best during this time to worship together. And that's all we could do, right? And we could do a little one-to-one, but for a while, those restaurants were closed. We couldn't even do that, you know? And so I'm going to get emotional here. But I thank the Lord for you. You stuck it out. And we're here. So, let's try to stay connected. Sometimes it's a battle. It really is. But we need to stay connected. You know, one of the hardships of this COVID-19, besides the virus itself, has been for many people loneliness and aloneness. My 94-year-old and 90-year-old mother were supposed to move, and I've shared this to you on Zoom, into their assisted living. And, you know, we as a family said, it's about time, go, go. And then this whole COVID-19 thing hit. And so when April 29th or whatever their moving date came, before that, we as a family felt, you know what, we just can't move them. And so we didn't move them. And it wasn't so much about, well, yes, it was this virus, because, you know, this is Calgary I'm talking. But we realized the fact that as soon as we put them in that place, you would never see them. And they would be on the second floor, and you couldn't even knock on their window. You couldn't even get outside. And so here was this struggle, right? And so we decided not to move them. So the good news is, end of June, we are going to finally move them. And you can move, you can actually visit them outside on the deck or on the porch or something at the assisted living place. And with the guidelines, of course. And so here's this other issue of being alone besides the virus itself. You know, we were never meant to be alone. And if this virus is teaching us anything, it is a reminder to us that even for the introverts of the introverts, I heard Matt and Joan talk about themselves as introverts, and yes, there's lots of introverts in this world, including myself, God still did not create you to be alone. Did you know that? He created you to be in community. Dallas Willard, from his book, Hearing God, shares a story about visiting a local prison while he was in college with his friends. Now, this prison wasn't one of these maximum security prison. It was a minimum security prison. And so most of these inmates were in there for minimal charges, minor charges. They were in there for maybe a month to up to a year. But they experienced separation from their friends and family. And for this long period of time, it was enough for them to suffer some form of loneliness, and very acutely. And so these inmates always look forward to the visit from this college group, especially when they led them in singing. So there was one Christian lady in their group that brought her an accordion. This is a long time ago. Do we play accordions anymore? Do you remember those? You know, some of you play that. And they would just love it. They would join in enthusiastically to the music and the songs and the hymns. And there was one song that they would always request. And I don't have the title, but I do have the lyrics. It goes something like this. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me to still fight on. He promised never to leave me. Never leave me alone. Then the inmates whooped it up because the chorus was coming. And with all their pent-up emotions and their desperation and their loneliness, they contemplated their final hope in the chorus, which goes, no, never alone, no, never alone. He, of course that is God, promises never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. You know, this beautiful hymn teaches us there is something even greater than friends and family. And these men cried out for the one thing that mattered, and that was the very presence of God. And the voice of Jesus, they sung, who promises never to leave you, who will never, ever forsake his children, no matter what. Do you know that as a child of God, you do not have to live your life alone, ever? God is right here with us, within you. And that is why it's important to be people who pray. People who pray. So I went through the Lord's Prayer all on Zoom. So you can turn your mics on now. Sorry, not the people on Zoom, but the people here. So I want you to talk to me because I haven't got any feedback for 3 months, and it's just something horrible, man. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, I just wanted to hear a baby crying. That was good enough for me, you know. And I couldn't even see people on the screen because I have a bad eye right now. And so I was like, okay, I believe you're out there somewhere. I'll just go by faith. You're behind there. You're listening. You're doing something back there. But anyway, do you remember the acronym? So someone, tell me the acronym.
Pray.
Pray. Okay. P-R-A-Y. Okay, let's ramp it up. P stands for? R stands for? Rejoice. A stands for? Come on, you guys. Yes, ask is right. Yeah. And Y stands for?
Yield.
Yeah, well, okay. Came through. Well, maybe because that was, you know, 2 weeks ago. You remember that one. Okay, so P-R-A-Y is pray. So, the Lord's Prayer is basically Jesus' way of teaching his followers to pray. Why is he teaching you to pray? Jesus is teaching us to pray because only God can take away your aloneness. Think about that. We can run around doing all kinds of things, but only Jesus can take away your aloneness. So my message today is kind of a review, but really, most of all, I just felt the need to say a few more things about the P on the R, the pause and the rejoicing because I just want to make sure you get it. Because it's so critical. Absolutely critical. So, P for pause. And so, I encourage you to pause, to stop, and fellowship with God as your loving Father in heaven, as Jesus said. Your loving Heavenly Father. I mean, have you considered how incredible it is that you can have this intimate communion with God, the most holy God? Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, "And I will always be with you to the very end of the age." I mean, Jesus meant every word that he said. I will be with you. And then he taught us how to be with him. It's just not a theory or simply a theology. It is an experience that he's trying to teach us. So those who believe in Jesus, who have surrendered to him, their sins are forgiven. You're forgiven, and then he gives you, as I said many times, he gives you the Holy Spirit, the gift of the powerful, personal presence of God. That is who God says will be with you 24/7 until the rest of your days, until Jesus comes back, and then we get to be with him forever and ever after that too. And so the message is, you're never, 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 never alone. Never alone. And so, I mean, you believe that. I know you believe that. But we shouldn't be just people who believe things. That's our evangelical church problem. We have a set of beliefs and we're proud of our beliefs and we have convictions about what we believe. But our struggle is the experience. We shouldn't just believe, but we must walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus and experience his presence every single day. But one of the challenges is that you and I have, at least for me personally, is I don't pause long enough because I'm a restless kind of guy. And, I mean, we know each other so well. We're a pile of restless people. We like to do things and go places and run businesses. And folks, we need to pause, though. We don't pause long enough to fellowship with God. So Jesus said these words, and they're profound words. My sheep listen to my voice. Right? Pretty clear. What do his people do? They listen to my voice. And then it gets better. And I know them. And then it gets even better. And they follow me. See how that works? It's a whole experience. You listen to Jesus. God knows you. Here's his fellowship. And then when you have that fellowship, these people, we, his people, his sheep, we follow him. Because we recognize his voice, and his voice guides us, and he teaches us. And so Jesus is talking about a relationship with God where we pause and we listen to the voice of Jesus. I mean, isn't that awesome that he still speaks to you? He didn't just disappear behind the clouds, by the way. He speaks to you. And as the boys, those inmates, prayed and sung, I hear the voice of Jesus. I am not alone. I am not alone. I'd like to be in that room when they sung that song. You know, we often think of praying as simply talking to God. And that has some merit to it. But usually we think of that as asking God for things. Nothing wrong with that. That's A for asking. We need to ask. But Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. And so Jesus says over and over again, just read the Gospels, those who have ears to hear, let him hear. Just constantly. You know, he's talking about followers who actually listen to God. And so Jesus is really talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus as Martha did. And what did she do? She was listening to Jesus. What did her friend do? Well, she was a great gal. She did great things for Jesus, I think. I really do. She was doing good things. Just like so many of you, you do good things. But Jesus on that day made a remark that Martha was doing the right thing by stopping to listen to Jesus. And Mary is running around not understanding who Jesus really is. And he is the teacher. He is God in human flesh. He must be listened to. So that story is a powerful story because it really is a story of maybe our lives. So ask yourself, who are you in that story? Are you the Mary running around, not fellowshipping with who you should fellowship with? Or you are a Martha? You're not being lazy by spending time with Jesus. You're not being too heavenly when you spend time with Jesus. Okay? But remember who you get to listen to. You're not having to listen to some salesperson on the phone who's trying to push your products and wares or technology or services or whatever. And you're not talking to someone that you barely know and trust. I generally hang up on people like that. There's no comparison. You have the privilege of conversing with a God who you can listen to and who already, I mean, get this. He already knows your needs. He already knows what's on your hearts. And because of his spirit in you, his spirit intertwines with your own spirit. And you develop and you cultivate a relationship where you get to know the heart of Jesus. And we pause because we need to pause from our activity of trying to solve life by yourself. You need Jesus. He helps you to know yourself. Because actually, we don't know ourselves very well. I mean, you know yourself probably better than people who don't know you, right? But God knows you intimately, so why not link up with God who knows you intimately? And it does take humility, by the way, because our pride is often in the way, and sometimes the scariest person in the world is Jesus to many people. Why? Because we just don't like to be exposed. The honest truth about ourselves. So I'm not even pretending to you that when you spend time with Jesus, you're going to be like happy all the time. Sometimes you're going to feel deep conviction. But as you get to know God and trust him with the deep things of your life, even more and more, you are going to love him. And this can only happen when you have a conversational walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, when you stop drop. I was going to say a roll, but that doesn't quite work. Just roll with it. Kneel, yeah. All of us long to be known and loved, right? Am I right? There's not one person here that does not want to be truly known and understood and loved by people. And we especially long for love from our parents as human beings, okay? We're all built that way, by the way, okay? And when we don't experience this love and acceptance, honestly, there's a part of us that goes missing, okay? It's just the fact. You know, I don't want to rub salt in wounds, but that's just a fact. It's all part of us human beings living in a fallen world, and we can't go around blaming mom and dad for what it is. We forgive them, but it's just part of the things that happen. You know, I love my dad. He's 94 years old now, and but in childhood, honestly, he wasn't very good at expressing love, okay? And he would say the same about his dad. And when he tried, he came across so awkward. So when you're like a teenager, you go, right, right? So one day, fast forward to college, I went back to Japan where there are missionaries. I think it's 86 or something. And he comes along, puts his arms around me, and says, Dan, I love you. I just about fell off. Well, I was standing. I just about collapsed. But let me tell you something. Those are powerful words, right? Coming from your own dad. And that was meaningful to me, powerful. And it's not like he kind of did that every day after that. He just didn't do that. But he got it out, and I got the message, right? So anyway, this story came to mind the other day when I was having a wonderful encounter with the Lord. And I paused to be with the Lord. I was reading through Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And you know the story about how it says Adam and Eve felt no shame. And then in chapter 3, suddenly they're hiding behind little leaves to hide themselves. And they're living in shame, right? So you got the story from no shame to full of shame. And with God, living in God's will, there's absolutely no shame. No shame at all. But when they committed sin, they're just covered with it. Like the virus. Covered with shame. And you and I are infected by that same shame. So as I was meditating on this word shame that, you know, just popped out for me, I said, you know, God said to me from that word and reminded me, Dan, in me there is absolutely no shame. In Jesus there is no shame. And so right then I remembered, you know, the verse we know well in Romans, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, right? And so that's just kind of reverberating my heart, and I go, right. This is affirmation stuff, right? And so I'm having this conversation, and I want to take it to the next level. So I said, Lord, what in my life do you need to touch for deeper healing for me? You're obviously bringing this up for a reason. I'm reading it, and it's glaring at me. And so the Lord continued to affirm me. I mean, I can't get you into the bare details here because this is, you know, personal, but I was going through some challenging stuff, and I was pouring out my heart to God on wisdom, on how to do stuff. And so the Lord reminded me not to fear false accusations. Don't fear feelings of insecurity. You're my child. Because that's what we are, by the way. We're children, and that's a good analogy, a truth of our relationship with God. I mean, Jesus uses it. The Bible uses it. You're a child. And a child is vulnerable in the hands of God. So you are my child, and you are my spiritual warrior. I mean, these are just like things you don't make up. These are words of affirmation. And then be strong in me. And so when I heard those words from Jesus, I viewed them as words of deep, deep love, affirmation, and Him guiding me. So, yeah. So, next morning, driving to Grand Prairie, and I'm going to go pick up some slabs for the yard. And I remember well, right, the day before of just having this affirmation. So I just instinctively started thanking the Lord. I said, Lord, man, I thank you for encouraging me, right? Thank you for affirming me. Nothing fancy. I'm just thanking the Lord as I was driving down the road, you know. And driving past those orange tanky things on the highway, right, you know. And the Lord said to me in my own spirit, well, this is where it gets so emotional for me. Oh, what a day. Lord, you honor me, or Dan, you honor me, and I love you. That was it. And I just about lost it. Just about lost it. And then I realized that it all was, all things are connected. Jesus is not a God of disorder, by the way. Okay? And so this all goes back to this shame word, right? He's just, Satan wants to use something against me. God's going to go the opposite direction. He's trying to shore you up, right? There is no shame, Dan. So, like a baby, and I say this positively, like a child, I mean, I just started tearing up. And I wasn't too worried about my people driving past me, because it felt right. And then that's when I remembered the story about my dad, right? I go, oh, this reminds me of something. This reminds me of my dad saying he loved me. But the thought that came to me is that this love that I hear from God is so much greater than a love for my human father. You know, I'm not trying to put my dad down, but you understand, okay? But we can connect with it because we know how powerfully important it is for human fathers to love their sons and their children. And so this is the how much more do you need to know God's love for you and experience it. You have God, the Abba Father's love for you. And so my message to you is, don't just believe that. Please live it by stopping to pause and pray. That's all I'm really trying to say here. Pause and be with God. All right. R stands for rejoice or revere. And we must rejoice in God, our Father in heaven. You know, if there's one thing that we need in our lives right now, I think it's a heart of gratitude, because it's so tough to be grateful. I mean, I could just blab on, talk about everything that's not right right now, and there'll be a long, long list, okay? But hey, I mean, I'll mention a few things because you can connect with it. Three plus months now. All kinds of disappointments and losses that you could think of, things that you didn't get to do or still can't do. Not being able to get a haircut. Well, that was, I went with the flow on that. But yeah, I heard lots about that, you know. My son cut my hair, by the way, and I still haven't gone to the actual barber. I'll get there. And, you know, not being able to sit down in restaurants for a long time, not being able to enjoy your friends, or not having this and that. I mean, you know, it has the potential to make you really, really, really grumpy. Eh? Make you grumpy. And then you throw in the wet weather, right on schedule here for my sermon. And then you throw in the wicked wind, right? And then you throw in the media, if you bother to listen to the media, and there's this chaos. Chaos all over the place. And it just about drives you bonkers if you want to live and let that operate your life. It could drive you crazy. So the rejoice comes from the line, "Hallowed be your name." And it's a petition. Basically, we're asking that God's name be made holy in our lives. And this is our way of acknowledging who God is and what he does. And so, really, it's about giving praise to God, because that's what it means to make him holy, acknowledging his character in spite of whatever is happening. It means we show gratitude to the Lord for who he is. And so I have to ask you, how grateful to the Lord are you? How rooted are you in God's character and who he really is? Are you a rejoicer? So, you know, I could have kind of run my finger through a bunch of psalms and picked any psalm here, because the psalms are just like praise after praise after praise. And, you know, if we're not catching on what these psalms are all about, then we're just not reading it properly. They're teaching us to praise God, right? No matter what. So here, Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the singing, the trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Whew! That already makes you a little bit more joyful than like 2 seconds ago. That's what it's for. But the first line is what stood out to me. Sing to the Lord a new song, and it's the word new that popped out to me. So I said, Lord, what does it mean to have a new song? And so I thought about the word fresh. Sing to Lord a new and a fresh song. So I wrote fresh right beside the word new in my Bible, because that helped me understand. Fresh. So when you eat food, I tend to like food with fresh ingredients, right? I tend to eat food that is hot, it's fresh. When I have my steaks and hamburgers, I don't want to eat it a day after it comes off the grill. I want to eat it fresh, right? Right now, hot, ready to go. Leftovers are okay. But really, I want it fresh. You know, Thanksgiving is great because turkey is fresh and awesome. But when you have to eat turkey sandwiches for 7 days, it just gets a bit old. So fresh we're talking about. Sing to the Lord a new song that is fresh. And so I said, Lord, what does this mean that we sing this new song in a fresh and new way? Well, just read on. The Psalms tell you. Salvation, God's love, faithfulness. Turn to Ephesians and you are encouraged in the first chapter to thank God for everything that you are in Christ. Oh my goodness. But how do you keep it fresh? That's the issue for me. So that's what I was going to figure out. How do I keep this fresh? So I just thought, okay, let's get practical here. And so let me give you three different ways to keep your gratitude fresh and new, and then we'll end. So number one, grow in gratitude by spending time with your good and loving God. So I've already talked about this, but we need to hear it again. You will become more grateful by simply spending time with Jesus in a conversational relationship with Him. I believe that with all my soul. You will be more grateful when you spend time in a conversational relationship with Him. Think about this. You are spending time, you're listening, you're talking to the most loving and wonderful person in the universe. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And He is God. By doing this, this keeps you singing in a new song because it's always fresh. A fresh attitude of thanksgiving in your heart when you actually encounter God and you're not driven by social media and all the complaining and all the griping. Yes, we need to address issues in the world, we do. But my goodness, be grounded in your encounter with Jesus. So it's kind of like this. When you spend time with people and speak to people whom you love in your life, how does that make you feel about them? Okay? You're hanging out with people and they affirm you. I mean, they give you undivided attention. They say a few words of wisdom and they encourage you. How does that make you feel about them? You're going to say, I like that person. And you say to that person after you have coffee or lunch with them, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for hearing me out. Thanks for taking the time to give me some good counsel and advice. And basically, this is a person who's showing you love. Right? And when that happens, you want to respond back by saying, thanks, friend. Right? And it's no different, an even greater measure, when you experience a walk with Jesus, then you just want to say thank you. That's singing a new song. And so when you read this psalm, it becomes more meaningful because it reminds you of God's power and His salvation and His direction, and it just taps into all your experiences of that God has, how God has touched your life. You will be more grateful when you experience God's love and all He does for you. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. every day. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That sounds pretty fresh to me. So that's the one thing. Number two, very much connected. Second way to learn to be thankful is by meditating on God's word. And so this is where the Psalms help us, friends. In other places, of course. They are honoring God. And it's simply everywhere in the Psalms. There's no escaping. The Psalms we read, they remind you that without God, we can do nothing. You can also do this by simply going through the many attributes of God. You can do a study on the attributes of God or the character of God and just meditate on His character. Thank God for His everyday presence. Thank God for His omniscience. He's all-knowing. Thank God that He's all-powerful. Thank God that He is the true and mighty avenger. And you can do this in your own personal way as you read this psalm. Don't just read the psalms, but make it your personal thanksgiving to God. I mean, I could go on. New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, just a whole list of everything you are in Jesus Christ. Turn it into a thanksgiving list. And finally, observe not just the big things, but list off, write down if you like, all the everyday, simple, ordinary things in your life. So, in the morning or at the end of the day, you may want to just simply write down a list. And so, so I did this the other day, and it's pretty basic. I just wrote down, Lord, I thank God for Cheryl, and I wrote down why. And then I listed off my children, and I wrote down why, right? And I even had you guys in there. Hey, said thank God for Claremont Community Church. Thank God for my home, and I was actually talking about my physical home. You know, I mean, you know, hey, thank God for my physical home. And then I said, thank God for savory food, like fresh, classic bubble tea from Purple Crumbs. How practical is that? I don't know about you, but food gets me really excited. And why not thank God for food, right? Thank God for the food. Let me end with an image. Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Have I talked about that before? Maybe. Okay. What does a thermometer do? A thermometer records the temperature, what's happening out in the environment. So if you are a thermometer, if you're a spiritual thermometer, your life is going up and down according to the heat or the coolness of the day. So if things are going bad, then the thermometer basically is going down. When things are good, going good in your life, then the thermometer records it as going high up to 30, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, do you understand? Okay? So that kind of life is this up and down life because you are being tossed and turned by the waves, as James says, and you're a boat going up and down with circumstances. What's a thermostat? A thermostat is on the wall of your home. Mine's set to 20.5 or 21 degrees, and it's constant, except then I have a setting for bedtime, and it's set at 17 degrees, and it's constant, right? Same thing in your walk with God, folks. Our walk with God should be more like the thermostat, where you are linked in to rejoicing with God. You're linked in with pausing to be with God. And He is the one that is creating the environment for you. But if you're the one trying to create the environment and tossed and turned, you're more like the thermometer going up and down. So think about the image this week and ask yourself, am I operating more like a thermometer or am I operating more like a thermostat? Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for bringing us this far. I thank you that we can meet together. I thank you for this church community. I even thank you for Zoom, because there are still many connecting with us that way. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your incredible mercies that are new every morning. I thank you that you desire to be with us, and that you did not come into this earth, into this world, and then step away and back away, but that you sent your Holy Spirit so that we could be with you 24/7. And so, Lord, I just ask for your anointing upon your church and your people. Lord, I know that when we bring up something so intimate as prayer, it makes some people uncomfortable and maybe a tad guilty. Lord, I pray that they instead would respond. We would respond in obedience and joy that, yeah, I get to be with Jesus. Help us, Lord, because it's a struggle sometimes. We admit that. But we so need you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Worship team will come and close us off.